You might have heard about us on Facebook. It's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Jason Casey, Sam Platts, Kareem Daniels, and Diana Hong. And now, from the chair behind all the knobs and switches, here's Nate.
That laugh after Diana Hong's name, never more appropriate.
Always.
We're never going to see her.
Because it is a joke, right?
We're never going to see her again.
Right. Her greatest comedy shtick is her name at the end of that, because she's never here.
Yeah. She's now a culture warrior on Facebook.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Culture warrior?
Culture warrior. She's
standing up for the Korean name? What culture?
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah, LGBTQ.
Oh, that's right.
I saw one that she posted. I saw a post.
It's a lot of things.
It was dope. It was an awesome post.
She has not limited herself to any one thing. She's on the majority of the minorities is what's going on.
Oh, okay.
I wish I could be on the majority of minorities.
But you're a white guy, so give it up.
Yeah.
Can't happen. All right, coming up on the show today, we have some big announcements. The show is changing.
What?
We'll talk about that in just a second. Also, we're going to talk about Prince a little later on in the show because he passed away, unfortunately, last week. Plus, some problems with the Queen biopic. And news on David Hasselhoff. All of those things are coming up on the show today. But first, I want to talk about the show a little bit, the new format, and what's going to happen. First of all, this is the Wednesday show, and you've been used to a Wednesday and Friday show from us for, gosh, 3-4 years now.
4 years.
It's been a while. Show's been on almost 5 years. I think about year four, almost, yeah, somewhere in there, we went to 2 episodes a week, Wednesday and Friday. Now, we are going to have a third day of the podcast. There will be a podcast available on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
When you need it most.
Start your week off, right.
That's right.
Start your week off with a fresh new show on Monday. But we only have so much time. And you only have so much time. So some of the things we've been hearing about the show, I've been hearing from people who listen to the show, is one, it's hard to find enough time to listen to a whole hour-long show. Because Sam keeps kicking things, and it's really frustrating.
It happens.
I have
every
so much
single
aggression
time
inside.
I told you too. I was like, "Be careful, dude."
You told me. Careful. So it's like it's really hard for me to find a whole hour to sit down and block out for the show.
Understandable.
So what we're doing is instead of being the show's now being an hour to an hour and 10 minutes, the shows are now going to be somewhere 30 to 35 minutes. If we're on a roll, we might go a little bit longer. But for the most part, the show's going to be a half hour to 35 minutes. So it'll be a little easier to block out time to listen.
I spend that much time taking a shit in the morning, so it's perfect.
It's very palatable.
That would be 3 minutes. Sam, could you make a note of 3 minutes?
That's one of those words I'm not supposed to say.
We're going to get to that in a second.
Okay.
3 minutes and 13 seconds. Please make a note. Let me make a note right now. Well, yeah, we only had to talk about it outside before. 3:13. The other thing we're going to be doing, the Wednesday and Friday shows are going to be what's called radio friendly. So you either heard Sam start to say something and then a beep or a bit of silence. So you have no idea what Sam takes 30 minutes for in the morning. Don't say it again.
I was about to.
Sam's morning
make poopies.
Sam's morning constitutional is 30 minutes.
Is that really radio friendly poopies?
It's not.
But it's dude. Just be cool.
Take a Duke.
There you go.
There you go. That's awesome.
That's fine. So Wednesday and Friday. Because the other thing I was hearing from people was I really like listening to the show, but I have kids and I can only get away from them for so much. So. Yeah. This is going to be a show that you may have a conversation or two with your kids about it in the car or wherever, because we're still going to talk about a lot of the same things we've been talking about, but we won't use any of the adult words.
I like this. Okay.
On the Wednesday and
Friday.
Think
of us like your favorite Pixar film.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Seinfeld episode.
Oh, yeah. A great Seinfeld episode.
So for my sake,
Saturday Night Live.
I'm going to have to sit here and pretend little nephew's over here in the room.
The Seinfeld episode that never happened.
Right.
Because there was never a black person in the room.
It's true. It's true.
Wow.
Well, no, that's not true, because they had the guy who played the Johnny Cochran-like character.
Oh, his dad played in Mission Impossible. God, I can't think of his name yet.
Right. So there was a black man on Seinfeld. Not very often.
Once.
And not very many. But so that's what's going to happen on the Wednesday and Friday show. Now, the new show, the Monday show, we are removing all of the restrictions.
All of them.
On the language, which means the show is going to be very much like it was before in terms of what we say. You'll be hearing F-bombs. You might hear the C-word. Mm-hmm. You might hear the full A-hole.
Wow.
You'll get the full A-hole. Whereas on this show, you just hear A-hole.
Uh-huh.
So those are the big things, and that's why we're doing it, because we want to make the show more accessible to more people. And because it really sucks if you have something you kind of like, but you're like, I can't really make time for that anymore. And I don't want the show to be that thing that is a chore. Because once it starts to become a chore to do, then you just go, well, this is supposed to be fun. I'm not doing this anymore.
Right.
So
want to respect that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Once again, the show is evolving, and it's happened multiple times. We're almost 5 years into the run now. The show started July 4th, 2011. We're almost at 5 years, and we are almost at 400 episodes. So it's time to tweak the format and go forward. So please enjoy. It will still have the same explicit tag on iTunes, because we are going to have one explicit episode a week. And
got to.
And I don't want people to think that it's a super duper kid friendly show where we're never going to say anything controversial or whatever. But at the same time, just know that Wednesday and Friday shows, you are going to be able to hang out and listen to your kids.
You didn't kick me off the show, so something controversial will always be said.
It's true. We got a lot of stuff.
You can always put, radio friendly too, next to the tag on the show's title too.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll do that with the tags. Yeah. But just if you're wondering why it still has the explicit tag, that's why. Because I don't want I don't want people to have to subscribe two different times to get it on iTunes.
That's horrible and hard to do.
It's a pain. And Stone Cold Steve Austin does that, but you know what? He's way more famous than I am.
Yeah.
Because Stone Cold said so.
Exactly. He's got two episodes a week. One is radio friendly and the other one is Unleashed. So that's what's going on, and that's why we're doing it. And we're back after 3 weeks. My God. My God.
It's been quite some time.
Oral surgery for me.
Got his teeth pulled.
Mm-hmm. Correction. I got my teeth chiseled out of my jaw.
Wow.
Yeah, there is still some soreness. We're almost 3 weeks out, and I still have some soreness. My oral surgeon said, and I quote, "You really gave me a workout."
Wow.
Yeah. That's what you love to hear from your dentist.
And the only things I remember during, because you go in and what they did is they sedated me. And it's sort of like when I got a colonoscopy, where you sort of go to sleep, you don't remember anything, and it's over. That was the colonoscopy. This, I remember two things during the procedure. The first thing I remember is the oral surgeon attempting to put Novocaine on the lower right side, because I remember feeling the needle jamming into that nerve.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I've had fillings in my teeth done with absolutely no Novocaine before, because the shot hurts worse than actually getting. If you got surface cavities, the shot hurts way worse than actually getting the fillings.
Totally.
So I remembered that. The other thing I remember during the oral surgery is all of a sudden I heard the sound of a hammer hitting a chisel about 3-4 inches from my nose. And hearing my oral surgeon say, "Hit it again." I heard
it.
That happened multiple times.
Oh my goodness.
It was
bro.
Yeah, my lower right one, which was the one that didn't necessarily have to come out.
Were they impacted?
No, I had one that actually had cracked, and that's why that one had to come out. The lower one on that same side had a cavity in it, so my dentist's like, "That one should come out." And I'm like, "Well, I might as well get them all out rather than do one side and then come back a year later." Mm. I'm really glad I'm not going back again, because I would be like, I don't want to do this again. even though the two on the left side actually weren't very bad at all, but Yeah.
My goodness.
3 weeks out, and they're still not completely healed up. Like, so, just before we came in here, I had to go in, and I had to, they give you a syringe with a little pointy tip on it to flush out the sockets, because food will get in there. And you could, I could feel it in there, and I'm like, it's bugging the heck out of me.
Yeah, that's so why I told you to make sure you keep your sockets
clean. Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I was doing the rinsing with the warm salt water multiple times a day. But
oh, my goodness.
Thank goodness that's over.
Do they ever fill in the sockets?
Mm-mm, it just heals over.
Yeah.
It just heals over, and then everything sort of goes down where it belongs. I can feel it a lot more on the left side than the right side, but they're coming along. And when I asked how long it would be, they said, it usually takes about 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah,
for everything to heal.
It's a good thing about the military; they pull them like first thing. Like when you get to your first duty station, they pull them like automatically, because they don't want you to be in it like Afghanistan and your wisdom teeth start to come in and bug you.
Oh
well,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And here's the other thing that they told me later: they're like, well, as you get older, it gets harder and harder to do these things. So had I had this done when I was, 19, 20, 21,
like I did,
they would have been much easier than they were now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, they're not giving me any trouble. Oh, might as well leave them in.
Did you have all 4 wisdom teeth?
No, I never developed one on my upper right.
Neither did I. So, do you know what I found out?
What's that?
That means you probably have some Viking blood in you.
Well, then.
It's on the internet, so it must be true.
I am Scottish, so
he is red.
It's true. It's true. I have Scottish ancestry in me, so that's probably from the raping, pillaging Vikings. That
that's
came
right.
Over.
Hey, God bless them.
Didn't do anything wrong. Just trying to survive.
Yeah.
The only way they knew how.
It's a rough world out
they
there.
They were surviving the only way they knew how.
Those are cold, lonely nights.
Now it's not acceptable.
So that's my story. Friday, we'll talk about Jason's big announcements that he had this past week, because he had a couple of doozies.
Oh, my goodness. A
couple of doozies, including being sick last week, which was one of the reasons why we weren't here. But in the meantime, North Carolina has their new LGBT discrimination law. It's a weird bathroom bill. Basically, what they said was the local municipalities can't pass any ordinances that would give protections to LGBT people, which is really weird to me. And I'm not the only one, because Bruce Springsteen canceled his appearance in Greensboro, North Carolina. He's not the only one. There've been quite a few people, but
Demi Lovato.
Yeah.
They just canceled
my home girl.
Mm-hmm. He said, as you know, my fans, I'm scheduled to play Greensboro, North Carolina. As we know, North Carolina has just passed HB2, which the media are referring to as the bathroom law. HB2, known officially as Bathroom Facilities Privacy and Security Act, dictates which bathrooms transgender people are permitted to use. Just as important, the law also attacks the rights of LGBT citizens to sue when their human rights are violated in the workplace. That's weird. You know what? When your rights are violated, you can't sue.
Yeah.
So basically, it's just saying it's okay. Since no other group of North Carolinians face such a burden, to my mind, it's an attempt by people who cannot stand the progress our country has made in recognizing the human rights of all of our citizens to overturn that progress. Right now, there are many groups, businesses, and individuals in North Carolina working to oppose and overcome these negative developments. Taking all this into account, I feel that this is the time for me and the band to show their solidarity with those freedom fighters. As a result, and with deepest apologies to our dedicated fans in Greensboro, we have canceled our show. That was back on April 10th. Some things are more important than a rock show, and this fight against prejudice and bigotry, which is happening as I write, is one of them. It is the strongest means I have for raising my voice in opposition to those who continue to push us backward instead of forward. So, your home state, Kareem.
Yes, and I am so ashamed. I used to say that South Carolina was where all the ignorant people were, but in the last 6 to 7 years, this new governor has proven it to be.
They've all moved up north.
Yeah, they're in competition with South Carolina for ignorance. And the thing is, the bill isn't really about gay and lesbians using the bathroom.
No.
Right.
It's a ploy to get conservatives out to vote, because they know that if they don't get them out to vote, they're not going to win.
Ah.
So anytime you see those laws,
right,
like
that's some hot button thing. It's just to stoke the fire, get someone voting.
Yeah, there was one in Houston.
Yeah, uh-huh. There's one in Texas. There's one in Mississippi. It's to get them
out
to vote.
You're right.
And North Carolina is a state that's like a purple state, so it can go. It can swing either way.
It's a floating state. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, well, what are we going to do to get these people out to vote? We're going to put this in there.
We're going to suppress as many voters as possible.
Mm-hmm. no, they want to bring out more of their voters.
They want to bring out more of their
voters. I know, and I'm sure that they'll limit precincts open in certain other areas. Yeah. Like, and the way that it's been happening during the primaries.
Yeah. It's been a weird primary season. But, it's a very interesting fight, so we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah. And, you know, me being from North Carolina, I still got friends that are, and actually, I guess they were rednecks when we were kids, but they're like really rednecks now. But you find out who they are now, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you can be a redneck and still not be a bigot.
Yeah. And I've, there have been some really interesting people that I've gone to school with, and it's like, really crazy to see the state, you know, where it is now. Like, one of my classmates and friends in high school is now the president of Etsy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right on. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. Another one is in Joe Biden's cabinet, or works for Joe Biden.
No. Well, he's going to be out of work soon.
Yeah. So, but I'm saying it's been like that eclectic of a group of people that I went to high school with.
Right.
And to see the state now being where it is just ridiculous.
Mm. Now, meanwhile, on the other end of things that are important, well, unless you're David Hasselhoff, he wants his time on the beach. Retirement, though, not Baywatch. But an obstacle is standing in his way, and that is his ex-wife. See, the Hoff filed legal documents asking a judge to cut off all spousal support for Pamela Bach, who he divorced 10 years ago.
Oh, hell yeah. Oops.
You're okay with hell. David's been paying Pam $21,000 a month.
What?
For nearly 10 years. And he says she's made absolutely no effort to become self-supporting. He tells the judge he's getting to the age where retirement should be looming, but he says he can't happen with the gigantic monthly alimony nut. The 63-year-old says he's looting his retirement account because his monthly gross, which is $112,000, is not enough to cover his expenses and spousal support. Do the math on that one for a second. He can't get by on $90,000 a month.
Well, both of them are pathetic humans, is where I'm
at. Yeah, but, I mean, 10 years, you should get a job.
Bank it or something.
Right?
Bank your money.
Yeah. She could have banked that money.
That could have been her retirement.
Well,
she'd have been done quick.
When they divorced, she was 42. She's 52 now, and she's an actor and producer. He says she could easily get a job. That's just wanting to stick it to somebody.
Yeah.
Really.
Right.
So, I don't know. Good luck to the Hoff.
At the same time, to say that he wants to retire, I mean, like, don't you have to be working in order to retire?
Well,
as an actor, I mean.
I mean, Knight Rider's back in syndication, so he's getting paid.
The Baywatch movie is being shot right now with Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. Is he in Baywatch movie?
He's probably pretty sure he's going to make a cameo.
Does he own the franchise of Baywatch?
I believe he's a producer on it, so yes.
I guess
so.
All right. Wow. Okay.
He's making $112,000 a month.
He's doing something.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he has residual income coming from somewhere.
He has residual.
He just wants to be able to just chill out and on his $100,000 a month.
Yeah.
You know, and who wouldn't, really?
Really, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to be taking care of somebody that I'm not having sex with 10 years later.
Yeah, 10 years later.
Friggin' $20,000 a month.
I mean, I could understand maybe two or three, but 10, no.
That's a lot.
Like, no. Man, like, I might have to put a hit out on her.
I can even imagine, like, no, I mean, at the same time, though, making like $80,000 a month, that's like almost what my wife and I make together in combined income.
Right.
Like, $80,000, oh my God. Like,
and that would be his leftover every month.
Listen, to quote great NBA players all across the country, listen, I make a lot of money, but I spend a lot of money too.
Exactly.
So don't be judging, Jason.
I will judge.
I will judge silently.
And everybody that I know who's, I had some friends that were lawyers, and I was like, man, you must be making bank. And it was like, yeah, but we spend almost as much money as we make.
Yeah, there's a lot
of people that do
this. Oh, yeah, no, I understand that, and I know that. That's why you have to live like no one else today, so you can live like no one else later. Some of you will get that. No, some of you will get that. That's a reference.
So they're working on a Queen biopic right now, and Sacha Baron Cohen is out, and Queen's guitarist Brian May has slammed him over recent comments that the actor made about the movie, for which he was initially attached to star. Talking last month to Howard Stern, Cohen claimed that he walked away from the project he'd been connected to since 2010 after learning it wasn't to be the warts and all retelling he'd been hoping for, and instead would take the story behind Mercury's death from AIDS. AIDS complications in 1991 to, quote, see how the band carries on from strength to strength. But now Brian May is suggesting that it wasn't the actor's decision to leave at all. And he attacked him for speaking to the press. Quote, we had some nice times with Sasha kicking around ideas, and he went off and told untruths about what happened. Why would he go away and say that we didn't want to make a gritty film? Are we the kind of people who have ever ducked from the truth? I don't think so. So, a little bit of friction.
I mean, I don't think you could make a Queen movie without throwing some dirt somewhere.
There's got to be something going on with that, but he's out, and we'll see if it ever gets made.
It'll be
I'm sure it'll get made. It's just, when will it get made, and will we see it? You know, the Queen, members of Queen who survived are getting older now, so it's time to put up or shut up.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right. That's not going to go away anytime soon.
Well,
Thank goodness.
All right, first up in Cooler Duel, Bruce Springsteen. Jason.
Bruce Springsteen is cool.
Kareem.
He is taking his cool up to another level this week.
Sam.
I just had a conversation with Nikki this weekend about different musicians that people love and respect as great musicians, even though we personally don't fully enjoy their music.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Springsteen is one of those artists where I can respect how he's inspired so many people. He's talented, but I don't actually get pleasure listening to most of his music.
Oh, man. Listen to the Philadelphia soundtrack, all right, son of a gun.
I'll do that.
Or don't.
But his actions and the fact that he's just a fine musician, he's very cool.
Excellent. Up next in Cooler Tool, lifeguards. Lifeguards. Kareem.
Ones in red bikinis are cool.
Sam?
What Kareem said, but the ones who make $120,000 a month are tools.
Jason?
Lifeguards are cool. They save your life.
Well, I have some personal experience because I have an ex-wife who was a lifeguard growing up.
Oh, come on. Gosh darn it.
So I'm going to go tool. Gonna go tool.
That's really upsetting.
I can't be mad at you about that.
That is really. I wish I would have known that. I would have changed my answer.
It's unfair. I sprung that on you. And finally, in Cooler Tool, Sacha Baron Cohen. Sam.
I think he's cool. I think that this whatever his actions in this particular situation, I actually agree with. You know, I'd like to see a more in depth story about the band. I don't want a polished version. And I respect any actor who says no to a script that they're not pleased with.
Jason.
So I'm starting to think Sacha Baron Cohen's kind of like the M. Night Shyamalan of like actors, whereas I really thought Borat was awesome and amazing. And then the next one came out, Bruno, and I was like, okay, this is okay. And then the next one, the Dictator came out or whatever it was. I was like, that's... Ugh. And then his brother Grimsby came out, and like, I'm going to watch it just so I can be like, ugh. And then I haven't enjoyed anything he's really done, you know, since. And
what was that movie? It was a Wes Anderson. He played not a major role in, but it was...
But that's Wes Anderson. It's not him. That's not. So he's a tool.
Kareem.
I've always thought he was a tool.
Yeah, his finest work, his tour de force performance as an actor, not in Borat, but in Talladega Nights, The Legend of Ricky Bobby.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one, too.
He's still a tool, though. Yeah, just... That's just what he is.
Yeah.
All right. So last week we had several celebrities pass away. Doris Roberts, who is the mom in Everybody Loves Raymond, passed away at 90. Joni Lauer, who you might know as Chyna from the WWE, passed away at 46.
What the F?
And of course, the big one, the purplest death of them all, Prince, passed away last week. lots of outpouring of stuff that went on with that. And we started to hear some things about Prince that a lot of people didn't necessarily know after his death, because he was a very private guy. And Van Jones, who has worked in the White House, went on CNN to talk about some of the things that Prince did that you might not know about.
He wasn't just a musician. He was an incredible musician. But that there was this a core of genius that just used music to express itself. But he also was an incredible humanitarian, Don. He was a Jehovah's Witness, so he was not allowed to speak publicly about any of his good acts, any of his charitable activity. But I was one of the people in his life that helped him with all of that. And so, you know, he supported and helped to create something called Yes We Code. Yes We Code has now 15 major technology companies working with kids in the hood, getting them ready to have jobs in Silicon Valley. That was Prince. He worked with something called Green for All. I was the public face of that, but he put the money in. There are people that have solar panels on their houses right now in Oakland, California, that they don't know Prince paid for them. He was the kind of friend, kind of like you, Don. He doesn't care if you're having a good day. That's not when he's there. It's when you're having a bad day. He comes to the rescue. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people. I'll never forget, Don, I was in a plane that landed, and my phone ringing. It's Prince. And I said, hey, what's going on? He goes, where are her kids? Where are her kids? Mm. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, Lauryn Hill, where are her kids? He had found out that Lauryn had gotten in some trouble, and the first thing he wanted to know is, where are her kids and what can we do to help? Mm. Now, this is just how he was. I guarantee you, anybody struggling anywhere in the world, he was sending checks, he was making phone calls, but he did not want it to be known publicly. And he did not want us to say it, but I'm going to say it, because the world needs to know that it wasn't just the music. The music was one way he tried to help the world, but he was helping every single day of his life.
Mm. So that's some of the things. You can find out a lot more about Prince. There's been a lot of stuff that's come out in the past week or so since he passed. Kareem, you said you had a Prince story.
So, Prince. So I haven't spoke much on I haven't said much since the death. As a matter of fact, that day I was like, yeah, I'll catch up with y'all when I can deal. So for me, I learned about Prince when I was like in the sixth grade. This girl named Pauline Woods moved from San Diego to our school, and she liked Prince, and that was my first introduction to Prince. And I wasn't necessarily a fan at first, because the first thing I saw him was on the cover of an album with a thong on and a jacket. But having said that, Prince became like, so when you're that age, junior high, high school, and you're trying to figure out who you are, what you're doing.
Yeah.
Prince became my roadmap, mentor, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I was in high school. I was 5'7", 125,
right,
130. So you know, you're not getting a lot of women unless you got game. Mm. And all of my game and swagger in high school was all Prince.
Nice, that's a lot of swag.
High school, military, all Prince. Yeah. And I dated some girls that they were like, "How in the hell did you get her?" So from the first joke I wrote.
Uh-huh.
That was Prince. From my panty dropping poem, Prince. The confidence I have to do comedy, Prince.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it wasn't just some artist died. For me, mm-hmm. it was like a part of me.
Totally.
Like left the planet. And I'm. Today is a good day.
I like that.
You Excellent.
Know, yeah, so. Anybody who I've ever made fun of because they cried because a musician or somebody died, I apologize. I take that back.
Yeah, here comes the karma.
But, and the thing, you know, you got the Prince Michael Jackson comparison, like a whole bunch of people threw that stuff out this week. I'm like, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
Because from the get go, his music was always about something.
Yeah.
You know, they highlighted the music about sex, but if you listen to the rest of his songs, there were always songs about issues that were going on.
Yeah.
And I was always an odd duck. So those were things that I was thinking about when everybody else was thinking about what you're going to wear to school. I was thinking about politics and the and the regular politics and the politics of sexuality.
Totally.
And I was thinking about why do we believe what we believe. So all of those things resonated with me.
That's awesome.
And like he kind of gave you permission to think about those things and explore those things and be who you were, you know.
Yeah.
So, as a black dude in North Carolina,
right.
Like everybody was pretty much cut from the same cloth. Like,
right.
You know, and everybody was the same. But I did so much weird stuff in high school that you would, what was considered weird at the time, you know, so. Shout out to Prince.
Shout out.
You'll be missed.
Hey, man. This is good, man.
Yeah, let me
make feel
a quick,
that.
Quick note for that one.
Yeah.
There was another one in there.
I like that YouTube clip that you shared with the CNN dude and stuff, like.
And
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, and he actually took care of Lauryn Hill's family.
Yeah,
while she was in jail for, I forgot whatever it was.
I think we're going to be finding out a lot about what Prince did for other people over the next several months and years.
Yeah.
Because the only reason we didn't before was because he said, "Don't talk about it, or I'll cut you off."
Yeah,
right.
But like I've seen so many different stories from different artists. Or even like Tamara Hall, who worked at NBC, and just various people who talked about how he reached out to them, like when they needed somebody to talk to,
yeah,
or if they actually needed something.
Prince was like a guardian angel of sorts,
yeah. Right?
And then all of the artists that they talk about, you know, like the different stuff he did for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he gives me hope as to what people with power and money could actually do.
Yeah.
And especially the fact that he did do it without flaunting it around. If you can look up what the owner of the 5-Hour Energy Company does. There's a whole documentary about him, too. He's another guy who made millions upon millions of dollars with this stupid idea. And instead of just living like some fat cow, he's like starting schools and starting new industries in other countries and like, I mean, that stuff gives me hope for humanity. And I want to learn more about Prince.
It'll come around. So yeah. Let me ask you this. I think I already know your answer. And that's a two-parter. Bigger loss, first of all, to society, second of all, to music. Michael Jackson or Prince? Which is the bigger loss? Start with you, Jason. I know it's a tough one. Because
it's tough for me because
specifically,
like,
musically, it's... That's a tough one. They're both, they were the biggest acts along with Madonna in the 90s. They were huge.
Well, and that's, I mean, I was raised on, like, some of the things that he's talking about is, like, kind of what, growing up, Michael Jackson was to me. I mean, I had Jackson 5 albums. There's a lot that, you know, but at the same time, like, everything that I've heard about Prince musically and how he is, it's hard. It sounds like there's a lot more positive happening from Prince's life just from this one thing I've heard.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, and so obviously, you know, the loss of Prince seems like it has a bigger effect. My opinion.
Kareem?
It's easily Prince.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know how NFL coaches have like a coaching tree?
Mm-hmm.
Prince has a music tree. So if you're a big Janet Jackson fan, you can thank Prince for that because all of her music was produced by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who were in the time. Who was started by Prince.
Well, and you can look back. There's a lot of stuff coming out about songs that you didn't know were written by Prince.
So Nothing Compares to You.
Manic Monday.
Uh-huh.
A song by Stevie Nicks, Stephanie Mills.
Yeah, there's
just,
tons of them.
There's a ton of songs that I knew because I was that big a fan.
Right, right.
And I was into producers before regular people were into producers.
Yeah.
before Kanye, you know, like I looked up producers before Kanye.
Right.
So he has a coaching, like a, like would be considered a coaching tree of musicians that came out of him. You can't say that about Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Right.
Sam? Not to mention that he played 27 different instruments.
Yeah.
Sam, what do you think?
So you're talking music versus...
Music and society. So you could say that Prince is a bigger loss to society, but Michael Jackson would be a bigger loss to music.
Right. So obviously I require more education on Prince. I only knew some of the number one hits and obviously the song from the original 1989 Batman movie by Tim Burton.
Yes.
You know, that was my my ish, because I was a young boy. And
I love that song, by the way.
Yeah, it was good. But so for me personally, I see Michael Jackson has influenced me in the music realm, because I grew up more with like Jackson 5 and some of the young Michael Jackson, and into, of course, the 80s and 90s Michael. Although, I'm going to be someone to say it, similar to my comment about Bruce Springsteen, the 90s Michael Jackson, only a few of the songs I actually get pleasure listening to. I can appreciate his pioneering experimentation and stuff. But again, just from this clip we heard about what Prince did, Michael, you know, he had a tender heart. He had a love for children. Some people think sexual love for children, but... I choose to believe, you know, when he says he didn't do it. I'm going to go ahead and say that Prince made a bigger impact on society without even having to flaunt it.
Yeah.
And I respect that so much.
Yeah, I think the bigger loss, and this is no disrespect to Michael Jackson's music or his fans, but I think Prince is a bigger loss across the board.
Yeah.
Because of all the things that he did for people that you didn't know about. And I know Michael Jackson did several things as well that people didn't hear about, too. But here's the other thing about Prince. He's got, the rumor is, 26 albums of unreleased material banked, recorded, ready to go.
That's incredible, dude.
That's a low estimate.
Right. Yeah. That's completed albums.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's literally, literally thousands of songs. So if you thought that Tupac put out a lot of music after he died, no idea.
Because this is the thing that people forget. Back in the day with artists only released an album like once every couple of years.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't like we get now where you get one
every year or so.
Yeah. No, they were... Like, the record companies were like, okay,
you space it up.
They spaced it out.
Because you got to have your album sales and do touring, and then you got to do international touring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he wasn't doing that. He was making an album, like, every other month.
Right.
And they were, like, reining him in. It was like, no, you can't release that. You can't release that.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. And that dude would stay up, like, days
just
the studio.
I heard something about him, like, how many days in a row that he'd been up.
Yeah.
Prior to him, I mean, he's worked, right?
Yeah. Oh, and I'm at one last story. So last year, I took Cynthia Robinson to dinner, who played the trumpet for and was one of the founding members of Sly and the Family Stone.
Mm-hmm. Dope.
And the reason I took her to dinner because I wanted to hear about Prince. Because I didn't really know who she was like that. I just knew that she was my friend's mom who played trumpet for Prince.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she told me that she was on tour with him with Larry Graham at Graham Central Station. And he would tell the audio people, make sure you take care of them the same way you take care of me. And they were at some place, and those people didn't necessarily do a great job with them.
Yeah.
He went out in the audience himself, like disguised himself, and did the boards for them during their set, during the show.
Wow.
And then they like reeled him in and for him to perform next.
That's
so
incredible.
That's the kind of dude that he was.
Yeah. And that says something, that not only does he respect other musicians, but that he's knowledgeable enough to not just be playing, but to mix the sound just right.
His first four albums, he did everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a very, very big loss.
Oh, man. You know what? Like, I don't even have any respect for Kanye anymore.
Right?
You had respect for Kanye.
I love Kanye.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah. He didn't sample people's stuff. He played every instrument on all of those.
He wrote his own stuff too. He was a musician, an artist.
The first musician to sign a record deal and have producing rights on his own.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
So rest in peace, Prince. Props. Thank you for everything. Gonna wrap the show up with that because I think it's a good place to stop. Went a little long, but that's cool. I only have 3 swear words to edit out, too. So there you go.
Good job, guys.
Yeah. We're working on it. We'll get there.
Nice job.
Oh, you guys will. I was fine.
Jason was fine.
You're a pro.
You guys are going to owe the swear jar.
Wait till Monday, though. I
Nate,
will be
put that bar
filthy.
Of soap down. Nate, get that soap away from my mouth.
And I want to remind everybody that if you are not doing it already, please go ahead and shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab. At NateDarlingShow.com, it helps support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra. I mean, Prince would do it.
Yeah, why aren't you doing that?
Are you better than Prince? Is that what's going on? I don't think so.
I just made a $50 purchase.
Why don't you go buy some? You know what you should do? You know what you should go do, sirs? You should go buy through the website.
A swear jar?
Mm-hmm. No, a swear jar and also Prince's first 4 albums.
Oh, speaking of Prince. Great idea. I heard that as he got more religious, he forbade people at Paisley Park to cuss.
He so, didn't have a swear jar.
Prince
had a swear jar.
Prince had a cuss jar.
Wow.
So every time you would cuss, you would get fined a certain amount of money.
Hey, it works.
So, hey, if it's good enough for Prince, for us. All right, we'll see you on Friday with another fresh, clean episode of The Nate Darling Show. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.